Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm talking out of my ass right now. I don't know.
Great. I was curious. You're the one that wrote this down on here.
You're cutting this.
That's all I'm going to be cut.
Because I sound like an idiot. Don't ask me hard questions, JP.
Okay, I won't. I'm sorry.
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. We also have plenty of other regular columns about bicycling, and we do beer and CD reviews, a whole bunch of stuff. Check it out online at slugmag.com. And hard copies any place cool in downtown and surrounding areas of Salt Lake City. On this episode, it's a Craft Lake City episode. Annika DeMeo, Sabrosa, and Make SLC. Annika DeMeo started out her career soldering custom cables for live music and later transferred to crafting custom jewelry for her friends and family. The SLC native recently took part in the Celebration of the Hand exhibition, the temporary Museum of Permanent Change and Craft Lake City collaboration that created 12 pieces of art to fill placats along 300 South in Salt Lake City. Slug designer Maggie Zakowski recently sat down with DeMeo to talk about her artwork and what she'll have on display at this year's Craft Lake City.
Your work for Craft Lake City is jewelry. How did you end up working with that media type?
I went on a trip to Italy, and they have, you know, boatloads of Murano glass and all sorts of like flea markets everywhere. Brought back probably like 20 pairs. Started making them. Did a lot of bead work, and it was actually my sister who encouraged me to start working more with precious metals. Banged out this old belt. Banged them out to about 15 pairs of earrings and gave them to all my friends. And from that, I started working more with metals, blowtorch, soldering, you know, hammering, all that stuff. And yeah, it turned into a hobby I was really passionate about and just kind of eventually turned into doing a bit more than that, making my own business.
In that vein, your work is available online and you are planning on selling your work locally. What has the process been like for getting your business off the ground, and does your business support you financially, or do you find that you have to have a second job in order to support yourself?
For the first part, getting the business off the ground, just even making the declaration that I was gonna start a business was a little intimidating. I feel like I'm still kind of getting it off the ground conceptually with production and my organization. I guess as far as it becoming an income, it has been, I would say, a percentage of my income, but at this point right now, I still need to support myself with a second job. It'd be a fantasy if I could ever get rid of that second job.
Yeah, right. If that day comes when you could just solely work on jewelry, a lot of artists have the opinion that once an artist begins to do their work full-time, or it could be considered churning out product, the joy of doing the work begins to fade. Obviously, you aren't doing it full-time yet, but have you found that by trying to get this going and by doing a lot of work, not necessarily mass production, but a far bigger volume rather than just a hobby, have you found that to be true?
Yes. When I have to produce, you know, a pair that maybe I designed 2 years ago, and then I have to sit down, focus, and produce, say, like 10 or 15, about midway, I get, you know, my ADD kind of kicks in and I get bored and I kind of wish I could just be designing, but then I'll check myself and be like, you know, you could be mopping barf off of the floor in a barroom bathroom.
Yeah.
And so that helps me just, you know, appreciate the fact that I'm in my studio doing something that I really like. But yeah, I mean, I can empathize with it getting maybe a little boring, you know, same old, same old.
Yeah, and so obviously one of your motivations is avoiding vomit.
Yeah, yes.
But how else do you stay invigorated and inspired?
I think when the design comes in, you know, when I create something new that either I'm really proud of or that gets a lot of good feedback from friends and or, you know, customers. I don't know, I guess those are like the gears that keep me going. It's just that you know, it's so satisfactory to me. Yeah, again, I mean, like at this point, I'm 31, almost 2 years old, and my basis of comparison for other jobs has been the service industry. Not that I dislike it, but I kind of think that, you know, I could be doing this as opposed to sitting here doing this. So
obviously, you're an artist. Do you work with other mediums in your non-professional art life, or do you kind of stick to the same metal and wood and jewelry kind of stuff?
Yeah, I grew up, my dad's an artist, and ever since I was a kid, I'd say that was probably the one subject next to PE that I really excelled in. And I went to the Visual Art Institute when I was a kid and a teenager, so I definitely got to explore a bunch of different mediums. When I discovered metalsmithing, I think I've really found that passion in being able to create, but it also having a function, being able to wear that art was that definitely, I don't know, kind of like completely turned my faith around that maybe I could actually continue as an artist and possibly make some income off of it.
Yes, or hopefully break even.
Yeah, exactly, at least break even, pay for my materials.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously have an intimate acquaintance with the Salt Lake art community. What are your feelings on the art scene in the city? Have you found a lot of support in the community, both from other artists and from patrons and customers? And if you could change one thing, what would that be?
Yeah, definitely. I think growing up here, I've watched the city, you know, undergo, I would say anybody that's even been here for the past 10 years has seen this place change. And with the art community, even walking downtown, seeing more murals, seeing, I don't know, more of a focus, seeing more galleries, even the gallery stroll. I think the community has definitely almost demanded it. As far as something I would like to see change, I would love to see the older community, the older art community and the younger art community blend a little bit more. I think that they both have a lot to offer each other. That would be something I would love to see come together, a gap to be bridged, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with Craft Lake City, last year when I went, you kind of can see that. Obviously, it's a lot of younger, new artists emerging, but there's so many artists, it's hard to put them all in one category. But so as far as Craft Lake City, what made you decide to get involved with the event this year?
I have become friends with Carmia. She's been such an amazing, I guess, cheerleader, if you will, in getting me more involved in not only Craft Lake City, but just kind of pushing me even further to, you know, get my side up and, you know, this is where I should check out, you know, I should check out this boutique and kind of steering me in directions, showing me other artists. And just the fact that she has even given me that kind of effort, show me where my efforts can go, just has, I don't know, I just think the world of her. And I think without maybe her kind of cheering me on, I don't know if I would be doing this at this point right now.
Yeah.
And so I owe her a lot of gratitude for sure.
So as far as the future, looking ahead, what does the next year hold for you, both personally and professionally?
I think this past year for me, once I kind of made the declaration a year ago that I was going to take this on as, you know, a business and, you know, kind of put myself out there, it was a bit intimidating. I learned, you know, I've learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about even the retail world. It's something I'm really unfamiliar with. I look at this next year, especially as Craft Lake City, it's kind of being this platform to jump from.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be my first flea market, and I think it's gonna be, I guess, maybe a steam that I need to maybe take, I don't know, my products into places, maybe be a little less intimidated,
yeah,
a little less shy when it comes to putting my stuff out there. I'm looking forward to Craft Lake City kind of being that platform to jump from.
Yeah, lots of networking
to
be had there, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
DeMeo will be a part of Craft Lake City at Gallivan Plaza Saturday, August 11th from noon to 10 p.m. Local band Sub Rosa was founded in 2005 by lead singer and guitarist Rebecca Vernon. The group released their debut album, Strega, in the fall of 2007. Lineups changed, and the band eventually became a five-piece, releasing a critically acclaimed second album, No Help for the Mighty Ones, in March of 2011. The album released was followed by a hiatus with only occasional performances from Vernon and other members. And in April of 2012, Vernon reunited the band with a new drummer and bassist and played their first official reunion show at Crucial Fest 2012. Here's Sub Rosa's Whippoorwill from their second full-length album, No Help for the Mighty Ones.
Oh,
That was Whippoorwill from No Help for the Mighty Ones from Sub Rosa, their second album, and I'm joined by Sarah Pendleton and Rebecca Vernon. Thank you for stopping by today.
Thanks for having us.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about that song before we get into the meat of the interview, but what do you think about when you hear that song after recording it, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago?
Go ahead, Sarah. Well, for me personally, I think that that song could speak to everyone who's ever had regret or heartbreak that's really, really deep down in your guts, and when you realize that there is no way of regaining what you've lost, and you have to move on, and you've got to try to figure out where to get the strength to do that. And that's what I feel when I hear that song.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. And I've been on the other side of the narrator's place too, you know, like I've been I've played the part of Sally. So I thought it would be cool to write a song from the betrayer's point of view, I guess.
It is a really good album, I should say. I've been reviewing it, you know, over and over again, getting ready for the interview, and there's a few songs that really grab me. I'm excited about, though. What's going on with you guys in terms of recent music? What's happening with that?
A few months ago started writing material for the next album. And so far it's going really well. It's going in a different direction, but hopefully still gonna stay just as heavy as ever. But definitely the music is kind of more emotional, more melodic, and I picture some more lush instrumentation, like adding some piano and organ and maybe some other instruments as well with the violins.
I play the flugelhorn.
Well, that's funny. We were just talking about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really round out the sound. That's what I was thinking on the last album. No flugelhorn.
Yeah.
I was reading Decibel magazine to bone up on Sub Rosa facts, and I thought that was pretty cool that you actually got into that paper and got some coverage from them. How does it feel being covered by such a respectable publication like that and other ones like that?
It definitely is an honor to be recognized and to, you know, have features in those magazines, and we did some interviews with some overseas magazines too, and that was really, really cool. It's an honor for sure.
And you went to Europe to do a little tour, which is where I think some of the kind of music that you make is received in a different light. I don't know if you could say that. And you've got an audience over there, enough for a European tour, which is pretty rare for Salt Lake City bands. And how's it feel being in a completely different environment like that and still having the music come across?
Well, I remember specifically, the entire European tour was something I'll never forget, and it was really satisfying. But there was this particular night when we were in the city where the riots were going on.
Oh, Budapest.
Yes! So we were in Budapest, and there was one kid in particular. Was his name Daniel?
I think so.
That had been communicating with us over the internet before we came for the tour. And we knew he was a fan, but while we were playing, he was mouthing all of the lyrics to our songs. And I just remember that feeling of being, you know, across the ocean from where we'd written all this music and have somebody know all the words. And I just thought, I can die now.
Yeah, it's almost a surreal feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you recently went through a lineup change, an addition in the form of Andy Patterson, and he's joining you drumming now. How does that feel, having Mr. Patterson, if we can call him that?
I think he should always be referred to as Mr. Patterson.
Right.
It's been amazing having Andy in the band, and he's just really fun to work with, and it's kind of ironic too, because, you know, the Red Bennies are one of Sub Rosa's biggest influences, and he used to drum for the Red Bennies like 10 years ago. And he was also the one who recorded No Help for the Mighty Ones and did an amazing job. So it's kind of like everything came full circle or something.
Yeah, I could tell there was some Andy Patterson production on that, so it must be interesting having him, you know, drumming. That's cool.
Yeah.
And he'll be joining you for this Kraft Lake City gig that's coming up. How is it different playing a festival sort of environment than one of your regular shows, would you say?
Well, we don't really like to play in broad daylight, so that's always interesting.
I was legitimately going to wonder if that was a factor.
It definitely is. Like, we played the Utah Arts Festival a couple years ago, and it was just like 3 p.m., blinding sunlight, moms holding kids, screaming, and everyone just kind of stared at us dumbfounded in their Teva sandals and their bright yellow t-shirts, and it was just like, yeah, we don't really, this isn't the right setting. And the sound guy even told me to, like, turn down as much as possible. And I made a comment about after the first song, I sounded like Dave Matthews. And I was like, I need to turn up because, yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
And that's one of only two videos up on YouTube of us live, and it's, yeah, it sucks.
But Craft Lake City's better, right? Is what you were trying to say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. By far.
I didn't mean to compare that to Craft Lake City.
Well, you'll be playing later at night this time, so yeah. You'll be in the right environment.
We were hoping to, but, you know, we had our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I introduced you the first year you played. Was that Sub Rosa? Yeah, I was the MC. I was like, what is going on here?
Was that the acoustic number?
No, you played the bass. That was last year. This was like the first year. I saw a picture the other day, because you were hanging out in the background.
Oh, it was on the big stage, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, first year, yeah, Craft Lake City.
Yeah, that was fun. It's always fun to play Craft Lake City.
And I'm wondering about a tour. Is a tour in the works at all? What's going on with that?
We're hoping to finish the next album before we do any extensive touring. We are going to go in October to a festival we can't name yet because it hasn't been announced. And we might play a show in Boise by the end of the year. We'd love to make it to Europe next year. We'd love to make it into Roadburn. That's still up in the air. But as far as extensive touring, we're gonna wait till the album is done being written and recorded and everything, which is probably gonna happen beginning of next year.
Well, that's awesome. I have a quick question. I forgot to ask us after we played Whippoorwill, but that's a bird. Did you know that?
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes. It's from an H.P. Lovecraft. I mean, it's an H.P. Lovecraft thing, Whippoorwills.
Yeah, exactly. Now, H.P. Lovecraft seems to be a recurrent theme in some sort of genre you work within or metal. Why do you think that is?
He's just one of the best horror writers to ever live. I mean, there's just something so mystical and so just beyond horror tropes. I mean, he's going, like, you know, behind the scenery to, like, you know, figure out the things that are really, truly horrifying and evil.
And his work has spawned and inspired so many other things that I appreciate deeply. He's just a master, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few years ago at Slam Dance, there was a movie they made about Cthulhu coming back to a modern day time, like our modern era. It was really awesome.
I saw that. It was called Cloverleaf. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait. I was going to say, that's something else entirely.
I'm kidding.
It's I've got the memory of like a Swiss cheese block, so don't throw that at me.
Yeah,
Cloverfield, that was an awesome
Cloverfield, wait. Sorry, I knew it wasn't Cloverleaf.
Do you not sleep at night? Is that why that is? Because that's my problem.
Yeah, I have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But I just, you know, I listen to podcasts that gets me by, speaking of. Here we are. And also, I also like to read. What do you do in your spare time? That's a question. What do you, women of the metal, right?
As much solo practice as possible, a lot of reading, whatever I can do to get away from the city. I do crafting, I sew, and I also have a 3-year-old son. So he occupies quite a bit of my time. Rebecca?
Oh, Sarah makes lamps. This is a plug, and she's going to be selling them at Craft Lake City, so they're really awesome. My favorite thing to do in the world is reading, and I also, I like good film, and I'm trying to exercise more, and I don't know, I'm having a barbecue this weekend. Do you want to come?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, cool.
We're next door neighbors, so that would work.
Yeah, you're invited.
Speaking of, you have a garden that I have planted in.
Right, I do some gardening.
Oh, you do. Caught a little piece of land over there?
Yeah, I had a plot last year.
Oh.
And it was really dry winter, so a lot of my leafy greens died, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But solid carrots, solid carrot pole, and zucchini, the squash went crazy.
Oh yeah, I remember. It was insane.
I think you had one of the more successful plots in the garden.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, the rest was just, half of it was just dead. Dead before it began.
Wow, so...
Was that the gravelly soil year?
Yeah. No, that was like...
The year before.
That was the wet spring year.
Oh.
So, violins, awesome or not?
Well, don't ask me. I'm extremely biased.
Of course they're awesome.
good talk. So apparently there's some violin playing in the band.
There's a little bit of that.
Will you explain a little bit about what's going on with that and what that adds to the sound?
Well, when Rebecca and I started out, we really... It's odd how the sound developed. It was almost like it was beyond our control, out of our hands in a way, and it just became this thing, this entity. And I think it's pretty rare, as far as I know, for there to be two violins in a metal or rock band. I know there are several that have, you know, maybe one, But I honestly cannot picture it any other way at this point. It's amazing how it's developed. I absolutely love writing with Kim and having these two violins and being able to, you know, it gives us a lot of freedom to write counter melodies and to almost write vocal lines. So it's like there are just more voices in the band. Mm-hmm. And I love the texture and the dimension, and it's just so much fun.
I should add that I don't usually enjoy the kind of music you folks make.
Thank you.
And but the violins and your vocals, they add this really cool element that I could just automatically dig on. And I was listening to it at work, and you know, people are like, this is some heavy music. And I was like, usually I'd agree and not want to listen to it at work, but it seems to go with my mind state really well, and I think that's probably the string section element.
I think it adds an emotional element that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Oh, much agreed. It adds some sort of extra dimension you don't usually find in this kind of music, which is one of the reasons Sub Rosa sticks out. And I wanted to ask one final question here. You've been chugging along at a mostly consistent clip for the last few years. And if you could look forward from where you started from to now, what do you think your past self would think about the progress? Past selves, I guess. So let's go back in time. We're in a time machine. Look forward. Would you be like, what the hell?
I knew I always wanted to take music seriously and, you know, and find other people, like-minded people who'd be into that kind of music, you know, even outside Utah. I always wanted to go in this direction, but it's been such a pleasant surprise to have it turn out even more than I think either of us expected. So to have more people really appreciate it. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an incredibly weird, amazing journey. It's been arduous at times, but there was never a time when that difficulty wasn't rewarded with something even more amazing on the other side.
It's true, we have been through a lot, but then it always seems like it's, you know, darkest before the dawn. That sounds like something that should be on a Twilight bumper sticker or something, but you know what I mean?
So true.
It's been our experience, for sure.
Right. Can I mention one thing?
Please do.
We do have a new bassist playing with us, Christian Creek, and he's a transplant from Portland via Boise, and he's been a great addition to the band as well.
Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you at Craft Lake City. You'll be closing out the show.
Okay.
You'll be playing at night. That's what I was telling you guys. You'll be in your environment.
Yeah,
with some mood lighting, purples and purple lights.
Yeah, twilight's fine. Anytime after 6 or 7 is good.
We'll make a note of that. And people can find out more information online on Facebook.
Yeah.
And where else? You have a Bandcamp, which is where I listened to the album most recently. Just streamed it online.
We're on Reverb Nation, and we have a basically a cemetery MySpace page. I haven't logged on in a year, but there are music's on there. And then YouTube, you can, you know, find any songs on there too.
Well, thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you at Craft Lake City.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, JP.
We're joined once more by the infamous Esther Maronio, current managing editor of Slug Magazine. This is the first time you're sitting here as managing editor. How does that feel?
Feels weird, because I haven't even changed my signature on my email yet.
That'll be the last to go. I'm glad that we're announcing it here on the podcast, though. People don't know. It adds more cred to our event section. Before
yeah.
You were just an interloper, now you're legit, right?
Yeah, but apparently some people don't get respect around here, no matter what their title is. Some people prefer Jeff's and Ricky's over Esther's.
No, I think your events...
Yeah, whatever. Well, let's just do this, and I'll show you that you want me here.
Okay, wow, I like this challenge. Let's start off the first of the week with Tuesday, August 7th, Bombay Bicycle Club at In The Venue. And you're familiar with these guys, I am too.
Yeah, they're an indie rock band from England, so it should be a jolly good time.
You're already proving that word. Amazing British accent. Thank you, Esther. I have one of their albums, and I recommend them. Check them out online if you're not familiar with the sound. It's going to be a pretty big show, so I'd say buy your tickets in advance.
Will do.
And Wednesday, August 8th, the Minor Birds will be at Kilby, and that's a band. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that band?
Well, they're another indie rock band, and they're fronted by Lara Burin, who toured with Bright Eyes for a while. and these guys have recently released a new album, and we actually got one of the first reviews of that album up on our website by Dean Hillis, who's a big fan, one of our contributors. So look that up online and go to the show, because it should be really good.
And Thursday, August 9th, it's the Fusion Fest at Muse. Through Saturdays, a bunch of local bands from all over Utah, all different genres.
Yeah, that's what's cool about this festival, is that usually shows at Muse or down in Provo are kind of very genre-specific, and this is like a whole bunch of bands. Like, there's some hardcore bands playing, some, like, acoustic bands, and they're from all over the state, so it should be a nice, rounded fun.
Rounded fun. Definitely proving her worth,
I had it in my head.
I get it.
Just didn't.
I get it. And proceeds benefit AFLA and Provo Bicycle Collective, and AFLA is Artists for Local Agriculture. For more info on them, go to aflarevolution.org. And Friday, August 10th at Urban, we've got a really nice little show. Why don't you explain about that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, everyone at the Slug office has been talking about this show. It's Heartless Bastards and Little Hurricanes opening. So it's more alt-rock, bluesy type of music, which is pretty big right now, along with indie rock.
Of course. And Saturday, August 11th, we've been waiting for this event literally a whole year since last year.
Yes. Craft Lake City, everybody at the Gallivan Center. And this year it's going to be even bigger and better than last year, which is unbelievable. It's 2 hours longer than last year. It starts at noon rather than 2, and there will be more artists. I know that I always save up before Craft Lake City and end up spending a bunch of money on really worthwhile art and crafts there, so.
Ever since these vendors got a hold of Square and other mobile retail services for their phones and iPads, you have no reason not to spend money there. If you don't have cash, tough titty, said the kitty.
Did you buy anything last year?
No, not last year. I got some free stuff though, so people were handed out some prints, and that was really cool. They just handed me a print, and I was like, all right, thanks, bro. I'll tell you who it was. It's Kat Martin. She gave me a zombie Elvis picture.
Ooh.
Or was it the year before?
That's pretty cool. I've never gotten anything by her. But I've already reserved Audrey Patton's Tom Hanks print that she talked about in a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that and I was like, I want one of those.
It's a really cool. Have you seen it?
No, I didn't even have to see it. I was like, okay, that's Tom Hanks and Audrey Patton. Okay, I'm getting it.
And Sunday, August 12th, if you have any energy left after Craft Lake City, go find Justin Gallegos.
Gallegos.
Fuck, sorry.
Spanish, come on.
Justin Gallegos. Justin Gallegos. Sí, es bien.
Muy bien. So, happy birthday, Justin. He is one of our Slug music writers and pretty recent contributor on the staff.
It's been a long day.
Yes, it has been.
Well, just some insight into Esther. What does Esther do when she's done here recording our event section on Mondays? What happens?
I'm gonna go eat banh mi sandwiches at Oh My with my boyfriend.
It's official. You hear that, guys?
Oh yeah, we don't talk about boyfriends
on the
podcast.
Where are you guys registered?
Just kidding.
Target. And if you'd like more information about upcoming events, you can go to our front page.
Oh my god, oh my god.
Why are you?
I have an iPhone now.
Oh my gosh. You're very excited. I could see that. You're displaying it prominently.
I know. I was really excited because now I can talk about the iPhone app with enthusiasm and experience.
Please do.
So, we have an iPhone app, a Slug iPhone app, that happens to have our Soundwaves episode on it, along with our voicemail number, and links to the stories that are in the latest issue. And that is on an iPhone, which I have now, but JP does not. And I can tell you that it's pretty awesome. But JP can't really tell you anything.
I don't want to do this right now. It's inappropriate. I may one day get an iPhone. I'm not anti-iPhone. You know that. I'm a Google guy. I got a lot of Google content.
You're sitting in front of a MacBook.
I know. Yeah, well, that's something else. I don't want to talk about that. I'm split. I'm a man between two worlds. And you can always check out the daily calendar in the back of our magazine. And we've got hard copies. We distribute them any place cool in our hometown of Salt Lake City. or your hometown of Salt Lake City, I should say. I'm just an interloper.
But you don't really live here?
But Slug is based out of Salt Lake City. I'm currently living here, yes.
You're not based out of Salt Lake City.
I have an office in Davis County. That's where we're from. Well, thanks again for joining us, Esther. Any final words?
Stay cool.
Oh, wow, yes. So, you know what? You're the best. You're the best events person ever. I'd be sad to lose you.
Good.
Your Meteor is an alternative lo-fi indie band from Salt Lake City that started in August of 2010, playing house shows and odd venues. The band released their debut album, The Retroscope, in June of 2012. Here's Gold Paint from that album. That was Your Meteor with Gold Paint off their debut album, The Retroscope. The band will be playing at Craft Lake City this Saturday on the KUER stage. For more info on the group, visit them online at facebook.com/yourmeteor. Make SLC was founded in 2009 from a group of inventors and computer experts who enjoyed reading Make magazine and decided they wanted to form their own group. The group combined their efforts into projects including robots, games, designs, computer programs, and other electronic challenges. In the summer of 2010, the group formed their own private space to create their projects and started a weekly open night at the Bayou for people to see what they do. Slug writer Thomas Winkley sat down with Tim Anderson to talk about the group.
Where did Make SLC come from and what is it really?
So Make SLC is a makerspace in the downtown Salt Lake City area. It's basically a place where people that like to create can get together and actually have a place and a time set aside to work on their projects and build things.
Awesome. And where is it located?
It's located at 653 South State Street. It's on the east side of the road, just one door south of the bayou.
So why? I mean, what inspired you to do this? What's your background?
So my background, I work for an architect. We have members that are ceramics teachers. We have computer engineers. It's all walks of life coming together. Basically, anyone who likes creating things. We've got people that just like programming software. We have people building 3D printers all the time. That's a big favorite there.
Sure.
Everybody comes together. It's a place to share ideas.
Checking into it, you guys have a Wednesday night.
Yep.
7 to 10, kind of an open house, open mic night style.
Yep.
And that's anybody can come for that?
Yeah,
or?
Anybody, totally open to the public. You can bring projects, you can ask the people who are there working on their projects about them. It's just a place for makers to come and gather. That's our real goal.
Awesome. And then if you're a member, you pay a fee?
That's right. You would pay $50 a month, and that gets you 24/7 access. You can use all our tools. We've got bandsaws, soldering irons, computers set up. We should have some space dedicated 3D printers that the public or members can use.
Awesome. So they can do like print out their models, things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you can print out 3D models. It just deposits the filament in layers and builds it up.
Cool. And you mentioned, so when you're not slaving away for the architect, you did mention that you do electronic design.
Yeah, I have a side business with actually two other members of Make SLC that we all got together and started, where we design and sell electronics. We have a Kickstarter up now. It's the LFU 3D printer control board.
Awesome. And it sounds like your Kickstarter is doing pretty well so far.
Yeah,
making progress.
Going great. We're really excited.
Awesome.
Happy to bring our product to the world.
So which came first? Did you meet these guys through Make SLC, or did Make SLC come from you guys?
I met them through Make SLC, and one of them technically through the Transistor. That's a sister makerspace down in Provo. I'm actually a member of both.
Gotcha.
So I can cross the bridge between the point of the mountain.
Cool. What's your favorite part about all the projects and about doing it?
I really just love the community. It's awesome to have people there because everybody has a different set of knowledge that they all bring to the meetings that we have on public nights. And if I don't know something, there's someone there who does. And we can all collaborate and measure our ideas together and come up with better projects, learn how to build things.
Do you guys ever run into any odd things where maybe a product comes out of there that might be successful with copyright issues or anything like that? Or is everyone pretty open to just helping out and not worrying about it?
Yeah, we don't really worry about it. I mean, someone was 3D printing a TIE fighter glow-in-the-dark just 2 days ago. I assume George Lucas may be angry about that, but we're not selling them, so.
So you're good to go.
Yeah.
What's your favorite project to come out of there?
Right now, we're working on an awesome new kind of 3D printer that uses resin and UV light from a projector to cure it. It kind of just pulls a 3D object out of a vat of goo.
Wow, that, if anything, the process of that printing has got to look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. You get blinding white light. You don't want to look at it too long.
So is that something you're still working on, or
yeah,
is that done?
It's a work in progress. We're still trying to find the right materials. We have some issues to work out, but we're getting there. Solid objects are starting to appear instead of lumpy piles of goo.
Awesome. So you're starting to get more shape instead of amorphous, terrifying things.
Right. This kind of 3D printer, it's fairly new to the hobbyist market, so there aren't any set, here's a working design to go from. So we're flying by the seat of our pants, just trying to figure it out. That's a project that brings a lot of people to the space every week.
I can imagine, yeah. Just 3D printers, from what I understand, are a huge technological move right now.
Yeah,
for
it's great for hobbies. I mean, commercially, they've been available since the 90s, no problem, but nobody at home is going to spend 10 grand for a bottom-of-the-line 3D printer. But
right.
With the stuff that's out there now, you can build a brand new printer with aluminum extrusions for $600 and keep it at home.
Yeah, absolutely. See this going? I mean, you've started this. How long have you guys been doing this?
So there was originally a group called Hack SLC in August of 2009.
Okay.
And the space they were in, the lease was up and we had to go somewhere else. So many of us shifted down to Provo and started the Transistor. And that would be December to January of 2009, 2010. And then that space has been growing since then. And the remaining members up in Salt Lake around October of 2010 started meeting up here again in a warehouse space downtown, and then about a year after that they moved into our current location. So it's kind of an organic growing thing, and just wherever there's people we get as much space as we need and just keep growing however the members want.
That's got to be pretty incredible, though. I mean, it's only been a year and a half, and it sounds like you guys are progressing pretty quickly.
Right, and I mean, we keep getting more members interested, and everybody keeps bringing cool ideas to the table. It's just good to get the word out and let people know there's people out there like you who like taking things apart and making cool robots and 3D printers and toys.
Absolutely. Do you have an angle for this? Where do you want to see this go?
Just wherever the members want. I mean, we don't have an end goal in mind, we just want a space. Some people are trying to get lots of members in here so we can buy really fancy equipment like laser cutters and CNC mills, and other people are just happy to show up every week and talk shop.
And it seems like, I mean, all the membership proceeds basically go to pay for the building, the lights,
right,
the power.
Right now, yeah, we're just paying rent with the current membership, and anything above rent, we get together and say, what does the space need, what do we want? Talk about it, and then any leftover money goes right back into the space.
That's
to make
great.
It better.
Do a lot of the members find themselves donating tools and pieces as well that they have extras of, or have you seen a lot of that, or is it mainly funded through the membership dues?
Almost everything we have in there tool-wise has been donated, and the membership's mostly going to rent at this point.
Awesome. So say I'm a guy with little to no technical skill. Is this a place where I could come in and maybe with an idea and start learning how to make that idea happen?
Absolutely. We're great at that. If you come in and say, hey, I'm new, I want to build something like this, just start talking to people. They'll all have 20 different ways you can do it.
That's awesome.
And that happens every week. Someone will say, so I was thinking, I want to make a thermal camera. Can I do that with a normal camera? And five people will come up with ideas. Oh, if you take this filter out, it may work. And if you do that, it may work.
And pretty soon, 5 or 10 guys are tearing apart a camera.
Exactly, and there's camera pieces everywhere, and then they get a camera that's really out of focus and kind of blurry and may or may not be photographing thermal images.
And then they go from
there. It keeps refining, and maybe someday they'll actually get a camera that works. So.
Right, absolutely. What other message do you want to deliver? I mean, is there something...
I mean, it's just... anyone out there who has ideas or wants to build and make things, stop by. Let us know what you want to make. Come check us out.
Awesome. And it's 653 South State Street, right? Just
that
past
is correct.
The bayou. And the makeslc.com is the website?
That's our website. Our Facebook page is much more active than the website, though.
Okay.
So if you just search for MakeSLC, all one word, on Facebook, you should find... we've got about 200 people in the Facebook group, and there's posts fairly often.
This year, Make SLC will be a part of the DIY Engineers area of Craft Lake City, located in the X-Mission Science and Technology Building on the north side of Gallivan Plaza. For more information on the group, visit them online at makeslc.com. That's makeslc.com. Thanks for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. What did you think of our recent all-local music show a few weeks ago? What bands do you think are currently kicking ass in the Utah music scene? Tell us what you think for an upcoming episode. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We may just play you on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's episode, League of Women Voters, Swing and Utters, and Strung Out.